Yes, sorry, I didn't bring that up. The question was, they're going to use the CFI interview as an application, and that is true. Sorry, I missed that very important point. When you get referred to the immigration judge, you also do not file an I-589. The CFI is your application. So, raise your hand if you have ever reviewed CFI notes that contain all of the reasons why your client is seeking asylum.
It's always okay. Changed when you interview someone after that.
Exactly. So for those of you at home, there are no hands raised because, as one of our participants is saying, there are always changes, right? There is always more because of what Michelle said. People are so traumatized. People can't organize their thoughts in those interviews to lay out everything that happened. And because of the fear, because they don't have access to attorneys ahead of time, they talk to other migrants, they talk to other people in detention, and they're told stupid things like, don't talk about this, or you can only talk about things that happened within, 6 months of leaving, and don't mention XYZ. For the people who are here from Raices, and our clinic used to go do pro se assistance when families were being detained, and we would work a lot with the people who had been denied. And whenever we would sit down and talk to them, there was always a lot of stuff that didn't get said in the initial CFI that was usually a good and valid reason to have a claim.
By the way, every single one of us has a nonprofit experience up here. Every single one of us has worked at a nonprofit at one point or another. Even working in a nonprofit with all the heavy caseload you had, imagine if you told a judge, because we all know how long a CFI lasts, right? 20 minutes at the most, 30 possibly, right? A CFI, would you say maybe 30 minutes?
I don't know. I've had them that last longer, but...
But imagine if you told a judge, I spent a whopping, let's say, 45 minutes. I'm not even sure they last an hour, with the actual substantive, this is...
Oh, yeah, with the substantive
stuff? Right,
right. No.
Imagine telling, if the judge asked you, how long did you spend preparing this asylum I-589 with your client? 30 minutes. Imagine if you said that.
Well,
right?
Do you ever prepare the 589?
No. The CFI is the 589.
There is no 589.
So how do you generate biometrics, trigger the clock?
Who knows?
The technical stuff, because that's how you trigger the clock, is filing the 589.
Yeah.
You have it feed off, you send it to fee, even though there's no fee, but that triggers biometrics, starts the clock going.
I have to go back to the regs and look. It might be either the CFI or the referral. It has to be one of those two.
In any event,
this makes sense.
Thought
so
that
there's
that,
no I-589.
There's
no
I-589.
So how were the grounds identified?
From the CFI.
You put them in a cup, and then you pick one out.
Which, and this is also...
Bingo. La lotería.
The CFI is dependent on having a good asylum officer who knows what questions to ask, right? Mm-hmm. And that does not always happen. The cases where we've been successful in vacating a negative CFI, it's either because there were pretty bad interpreter issues, which is going to happen, right? And so the information in the notes is not going to be accurate because there was a bad interpreter. Or it's because the officer didn't ask the adequate follow-up questions or just questions to elicit information that demonstrates all of the reasons why a person has a claim, right? So they didn't get out all of the information about the different bad things that happened, or they didn't ask the questions one should ask to be able to pinpoint a nexus. And if we know that they don't have enough officers and they're going to hire a whole bunch of new officers,
You got to train them.
They have to be trained, right? So it's real. It's real hard to. Well, I'll say it's not hard to see how difficult this is going to be.
We have a question from the floor, Erica. Yeah. It says, "How do you handle it when your client does not have an EAD and you know they are working during the asylum application process? Where do they state if? Where do they have to state if they are working?" You got to put it down.
Well, if there's no application, then I guess you don't have to put down the work. Honestly, our clients work. I don't care. I mean.
I don't ask.
I don't ask. Clients, you know, try to hide the fact that they're working. What I tell clients is it's a crime to work with somebody's information that is not yours, right? Don't work with a fake social. Don't sign anything saying that you're authorized to work, right? Like, do not get fraudulent documents. And don't, you know, heaven forbid, sign a form that says you're a U.S. citizen entitled to work. And, you know, I think it varies a lot where you practice. In Texas, at least, it seems pretty easy for people to work for cash. But when I practiced in Washington State, all of my clients had fake socials. I don't know. I never asked where they got them, how it happened, but I just think up there,